Welcome to Whiskey Cask, Cask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 326 for July 23rd, 2011. Coming up in a few minutes.
One could say it's sort of the mecca for cocktail enthusiasts.
That's Paul Tunerman. He and his wife Ann founded Tales of the Cocktail 9 years ago in New Orleans. And this weekend, the French Quarter really is a mecca for the drinks world. More with Paul in a few minutes. I'll also have the calendar of events, the comments of the week, and a taste of something new that we've been working on. First, though, let's look at the week's news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. I've mentioned Shelter Point Distillery in British Columbia a couple of times on the show, usually during my visits to the Victoria Whiskey Festival in January. After a few bumps along the way, Shelter Point officially started distilling earlier this month. It has one advantage other craft distillers don't, a true master distiller. Mike Nicholson is helping the owners of Shelter Point get started. Mike's been on Whiskey Cast several times as well. He's the former distillery manager at Royal Lochnagar, Lagavulin, and Kalila, and retired to British Columbia after leaving Diageo several years ago. Now, you may see a Shelter Point whiskey on shelves in British Columbia, but that's actually a 5-year-old rye produced for the distillery in Alberta. Their single malt won't go on sale for several years. I mentioned Buffalo Trace's plan to use its entire Millennium bottling to raise money for charity a few weeks ago. Just wanted to remind you there are a couple of days left to apply for one of the 174 bottles of this expression. It's from the final barrel filled at Buffalo Trace on December 31st, 1999, and each bottle will be given to a charity to auction. You have to be a 501c3 registered charity with the IRS, and the deadline to apply is July 26th. There's a link to apply at the WhiskeyCast website. Now, back in the day, distilleries in Scotland were built close to the railroads so they could get barley and coal shipped in and their whiskey shipped out easily. That was before Scotland's road network displaced the railroads. Now, transportation analysts want to see whiskey shipments go back to the rails. The transportation partnership Hytrans estimates trucks make 184,000 trips each year around Scotland, hauling whiskey between distilleries, warehouses, and bottling plants. And moving some of that traffic to rail could help meet the European Union's greenhouse gas emission standards. Of course, most of the railroad tracks near the distilleries have been removed, so the odds of a major change in current shipping are pretty slim right now. I don't usually mention bartender competitions, but since we're talking about Tales of the Cocktail this week, this one fits right in. Auchin Tauchin is challenging bartenders in the UK and the US to find two who will switch countries. The winning bartender in each country gets to go overseas for 2 weeks. The UK's winner will work at a New York City bar, while the US winner will spend 2 weeks working at London's 69 Colebrook Row. There's a link for more details at the WhiskeyCast website. Pubs aren't always known for their culture, but several Scottish pubs will be serving up some drama with their drams over the next few weeks. Ben Romick has teamed up with the National Theatre of Scotland to support a tour of The Strange Undoing of Prudencia Hart. It opened Thursday night at Glasgow's Oran Mór and will be at Edinburgh's Gilly Dhu during the Fringe in August. It's described as a combination of storytelling and music inspired by the border ballads, Robert Burns, and the poet Robert Service. Other news about whiskey and the arts, so to speak. Got word this week that Ian Buxton's book 101 Whiskies to Try Before You Die will be out in an e-book version on August 4th. It'll be available for Kindle and Apple's iBook format. Also, I'd like to refer you to the archives at the WhiskeyCast website for episode 108, way back in September of 2007. That's when I interviewed Dr. Dennis Pogue of Mount Vernon about George Washington's history as a distiller. Dennis has just finished up a new book about Washington and whiskey, Founding Spirits, George Washington and the Beginnings of the American Whiskey Industry, will be published in September. I'll have more on this with Dennis in an upcoming episode. Finally, there's a bit of news this week that involves WhiskeyCast. If you visited our Facebook page this week, you already know that I've joined Whiskey Magazine as a contributing editor. I'll be writing about bourbons and other American whiskeys, along with other stuff from time to time, starting with issue 97, which hit mailboxes in the UK this week, and will be out worldwide over the next few weeks. I'm really excited about this new opportunity, and I'd like to thank everyone who's posted comments on the Facebook page or tweeted them. Don't worry, it's not going to take away from WhiskeyCast. In fact, there's something new coming soon that I'll share with you in just a few minutes. And that's the news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Visit the Glenmorangie Facebook page for details on how you could win a trip to visit the 16 Men of Tain and stay at Glenmorangie House. Glenmorangie, unnecessarily well-made. A couple of quick notes now. First off, you may remember the Father's Day competition during June, in which we gave away prize packages from our sponsors. Well, one of the winners never got back to me with his address, despite repeated attempts to reach him over the past month. Since I picked that winner from the list of followers for the Twitter feed, I went back to the list and picked another winner. This time, the winner is Joshua Heckathorn of New York, and Joshua wins a prize package from the Glenrothes. Thanks for following us on Twitter, Jonathan. On another note, I've had a lot of great comments over the years on the whiskey photos that I've shot and posted at the WhiskeyCast Facebook page, and I've had a lot of people ask over that time if there's a way that they could buy prints of those photos. I've decided to make some of them available as exhibition-quality prints through the WhiskeyCast website. There are now 8 different prints available. They're printed using archival inks and paper, and are 11 by 14 inches printed on 16 by 20 paper. There will only be 100 signed and numbered prints of each photo available. They went on sale last weekend for $100 each. But this week, we found a printer that's capable of doing even higher quality work at a lower cost. Since the prints are being produced as they're ordered, we were able to switch printers and pass the savings on to you. We've lowered the price to $75 each plus shipping, but only until the new WhiskeyCast website comes online soon. After that, they'll be $85 each, but still less expensive than the original $100 price. For those who ordered prints at the higher price, you'll be getting a full refund for the difference. Now, let's check the comments of the week, brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker. First off, Mark Dermal posted this on the WhiskeyCast Facebook page. Just got completely caught up with the HD episodes and must say they are brilliant. Keep them coming, Mark. Thank you very much, Mark. The latest WhiskeyCast HD features our first stab at cooking with whiskey. Chef Mike Isabella of Graffiato in Washington, D.C. shows us how to make his bourbon caramel sauce for all kinds of desserts. It's easy enough that even I could probably do it. Had a bunch of comments about my conversation with Knob Creek's Bernie Lubbers last week about Tales of the Cocktail, and my comments about the weather down in New Orleans. Scott Rogers of Washington posted this on the Facebook page. I laughed out loud on the Metro listening to this week's episode when you got into that exchange about the weather in New Orleans. I'll admit I haven't been to the Big Easy, but I've been just about everywhere else in this great country, and Houston is by far the worst summer heat I've ever experienced. New Orleans can't possibly be that much worse, especially for a former Houstonian, can it? Great episode, and I look forward to your report next year from Tales. I lived in Houston for 5 years, between 1986 and 1991. Now, Houston is an old Spanish word that basically means hell with humidity. Of course, I tempted Mother Nature with those comments last week, and she decided to give me a reminder of those days this week. To everyone in the eastern half of the United States that had to deal with 105-degree heat and wet rag humidity all week long, I'm sorry, it was my fault. It's actually 20 degrees cooler in New Orleans as I'm recording this. If you have a question or a suggestion, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and you can always share your thoughts at the WhiskeyCast Facebook page, too. The comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker, on the web at johnnywalker.com, where you can become a whiskey insider today. Time now for the calendar of events, brought to you as always by Laphroaig. I've added a lot of new events to the calendar this week. If you're in the San Francisco area, there's a Whiskey Archive Scotch tasting on the 28th at the Guerrero Gallery, and a bourbon tasting and barbecue on the 29th at the City Club of San Francisco. Tickets are still available for the Whiskey Rebellion Dinner with Rob Samuels of Maker's Mark on the 29th in Washington, Pennsylvania. Whiskey Fringe is coming up the weekend of August 5th through the 7th in Edinburgh. The Dundee Dell in Omaha, Nebraska has single malt tastings on August 7th and 11th. Bonhams will hold its next whiskey auction on August 17th in Edinburgh. And there are still a few tickets left for Jim McEwen's appearance at the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's Vaults in Leith, Scotland on August 25th. Whiskey Live Taipei is August 27th and 28th. Whiskey Live Glasgow is September 3rd. And finally, Cadenheads in Cologne, Germany will hold its 10th anniversary tasting on September 3rd. Those are just some of the events taking place over the next few weeks. You'll find a full calendar at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Become a friend of Laphroaig today and claim your own square foot of Ireland. Time now for WhiskeyCast in Depth. Last time around, Bernie Lubbers and I discussed Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans, which is going on this weekend. This is the 9th edition of Tales, and it's drawn bartenders and spirits lovers from all over the world to the French Quarter. Paul Turnerman and his wife Anne have guided Tales from day one.
10 years ago, Anne started a walking tour of New Orleans historic bars and restaurants, and you know, the city is one of kind of a, you know, a proud and strong culture, and you know, we have a lot of history in the French Quarter, and she wanted to put together a walking tour to sort of highlight that, and it was a huge success, and as only Anne would in the first year. At the first anniversary, she essentially held a media event and was successful in getting the likes of Jared and Anastasia Miller and Jill and Dale DeGroff and a few other notables of the cocktail industry to attend. And they had a great time. And, you know, the comment was made, boy, we should do this every year. And we've been doing it every year since, and you know, it's what we know as Tales of the Cocktail.
It really has sort of exploded into not just a tour of the bars and the pubs around New Orleans, but really this almost Woodstock-like event for cocktail nuts, right?
Well, it's yeah. I mean, one could say it's sort of the mecca of for cocktail enthusiasts. You know, it's 5 days. We'll have over 100 events. You know, a lot of it focuses on you know, the educational side of it. I mean, certainly we enjoy ourselves while we're here, but it is you know, it's about coming together and sort of sharing best practices and networking and learning from each other and you know, sort of advancing the craft to the benefit of everybody. So it's everybody who's anybody in the industry is you can find them in New Orleans in July.
Why July in New Orleans? I will admit I had a discussion about this with Bernie Lubbers on the last episode that sparked some fun because I used to live down in Houston, so I know how hot it gets down there during the summer. But why July in New Orleans?
Well, you know, it's really the purpose of Tales is essentially to support the hospitality industry, and you know, we do a lot in the you know, with respect to scholarships and whatnot, and this is It's a really good opportunity. You know, prior to Tales, I admit it, you know, New Orleans is kind of hot and sticky in late July, early August, and it is, you know, traditionally the city sort of shuts down, and, you know, now it's a great opportunity in that, you know, the restaurants are doing a booming business, the hotels are full, the bars are full, and, It's just made sense. It just worked out that way that the first one was in July. We decided to continue to do it in July.
Give me a sense of the seminars that you'll have this week. What would someone learn from coming to Tales?
Oh, you could, it's a range of stuff.
I know there's a lot of range.
Yeah, I mean, just in, if you look at just today, there's seminars talking about, Paul Clark is going to head up a seminar exploring the Negroni and, the sort of the legend behind it. There's the science of ice, the fun things such as the Bad Boys of Saloons, led by Jim Walker. Tomorrow we've got some seminars talking about classic hotel bars, cocktails from below the equator, cocktail culture, culture music. It goes on and on. Mike, the history of who's your daddy, a Mai Tai paternity test, really just Jeff Berry, great guy, talks about sort of the origins of the Mai Tai and who's truly responsible for its creation. He takes us on a sort of a rather interesting tour in time. There's just a lot going on, and that's a small sampling of it.
And this is one of those conferences where you can really learn just as much outside the classes as you can inside, right?
Yeah, well, we've got, in addition to that, we've got over 65 tasting rooms. We've had, a number of products will be launched here this year. Pierre Ferrand, one of the ones that I'm personally most excited about is the launch of their 1840 cognac, which was sort of recreated in that style of cognac from the 1840s. Today when we think of cognac, we think of more of a sipping cognac. Where back in the 1800s, it was really the primary the base spirit for a lot of the cocktails that today are traditionally made with ryes and bourbons and whiskeys. Stuff like that, there's opportunities to enjoy those and to check out those new spirits. And there's a lot of networking that goes on. So you have the opportunity to rub elbows with, the Tony Antonins and the Dale DeGroffs and the Charles Trolleys of the world and kind of see what they're working on and build, it's good for the sense of camaraderie. How we say, we're more of a fraternity and less of a competition here at Tales, and that everybody comes together for the betterment of the entire the entire industry.
And you also have a bunch of the great master distillers literally coming in from all over the world for this too, from the whiskey distilleries too, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. From you think about Desmond, the distiller for Beefeaters. Last night spent some time with him. This is his third year at Tales. He also joined us earlier this year at Tales on Tour in Vancouver. Another great guy I enjoy a lot, Chip Tate, who is the founder of Balcones Distillery out of Waco, Texas. And, Chip is, one of those small artisan style, distillers. Literally, when I tell you that the distillery is underneath an overpass in Waco, it's hard to, it's easy to pass up if you don't know what you're looking for. But he's doing, phenomenal stuff, up there in Waco, and so he's here and a bunch of folks in between. So.
And he was just on the show a few weeks ago, too, as well, talking to us from Waco about his whiskeys. But you've also got the masters like Jimmy Russell and Parker Beam and Richard Patterson and a lot of those folks, too, right?
Oh, yeah. And, Fred Doe and I'm trying to think of the gentleman from Buffalo Trace.
Harlan Wheatley?
Harlan Wheatley. I mean, it really is. I mean, when I say it, and it, everybody who's anybody in the industry is, you can find them here in July, that's for sure.
And this is not just open to mixologists, bartenders, and industry folks. Anybody can sign up to come to this, right?
Yep. I always say it's for the you'll find the academic, the historian, the artisan, the enthusiast, as well as the professional. And there are aspects of the event that will apply to all people, even locals. Tonight we're having our spirited dinners, and it's essentially a cocktail pairing. We have something like 40 or 50 restaurants in the city participating in it. So it's kind of, similar in style to a wine pairing, except it's, obviously cocktails. We pair up some of the great mixologists with, the local chefs and restaurateurs. It's one of those events that the locals like to take advantage of, as well as, those that come to Tales for serious work. It's a good way to participate and support the local community. And we also find that, last night we had the Cocktail Fresh Market, which focused on, organic and, sort of that, farm-to-glass aspect of what we do. And, that's just, one of those events that the locals like to come out and see and participate in and, sort of get to, enjoy what's happening out there.
Now, I have to ask, how has the city recovered? Because we're now 5 years or so after Katrina, and you kept going with Tales right after, the year after Katrina, and really we're trying to help the city recover. How has events like this, helped New Orleans come back after the hurricane?
Well, I think it was great to see those that first year prior to Hurricane Katrina. We had a single primary sponsor, and I kind of jokingly say they pulled a Ruth Chris on us, and that at the 11th hour following Hurricane Katrina, they pulled out of the event. And Ann and I, dug deep into our pocketbooks and wallets to ensure that the event, continued to happen that first year in 2006 post-Katrina. And, the best part is that the industry stepped up and really showed up that first year after the hurricane and really supported us. And, that was a turning point for the event and for the city. I always say the people that are in New Orleans today want to be here, and as such, I think the city is our future's brighter, and it's a much better place to live than it was pre-Katrina because of that. But the Tales is an opportunity for us to showcase the city. If you think about it, the bartenders make for great ambassadors. We have an opportunity every July to show off all that makes our city exciting and a great place to live and a place that we're very proud of. And these young and enthusiastic bartenders and mixologists will leave here at the end of the week and go back home, and they'll be able to talk about all the fun that they've had here. And we hope that it just sort of spreads the word. We find that both people come to Tales because of that.
You never considered moving to another city, right?
Oh, you couldn't. I mean, there's really no other place other than it's unimaginable. You wouldn't move it from another city, to another city, and we wouldn't move it away from the French Quarter. It's the purpose is to maintain that sort of that historical cultural perspective, and to ensure that the event is very intimate in nature. You know, we're not a nightclub and bar. You know, we're not a 5-day bar crawl through Manhattan. We're Tales of the Cocktail. We're very different, and the city and the setting truly differentiate us, and it makes us who we are.
Next year's Tales of the Cocktail will be July 25th through the 29th in New Orleans, and as I said last week, I am planning to be there. After all, it's cooler in New Orleans than it is here in New Jersey. Speaking of that, it's been just too doggone hot to even think about tasting whiskeys this week, so the What I'm Tasting This Week department is taking the week off. However, I have a sneak preview for you of a project that we've been working on. WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings is a brand new podcast series that will make its debut starting in August, and the goal is to engage you and the entire WhiskeyCast community worldwide. Each month, we'll have a tasting panel of community members coming together via Skype to nose and taste the same whiskeys. Here's a taste. Go ahead and taste it without water first, and then after you tell us what you think, then you can add a little bit of water and try it again.
Are we going to get a hint as far as country? Or
no.
Not at all? Okay.
No hints.
Thought I'd try.
Well, the pepper is very late to the party.
Anyone else?
It doesn't taste as sweet as it smells.
Hmm. How does it taste?
It's a lot smoother, a lot more subtle. A longer finish.
Shelley?
Yeah, I think the pepper is definitely on the palate, on the roof of your mouth, rather than on the tongue. There's a long finish. I get a little wood. It's complex, and it's actually worth sort of sitting and noodling over a little bit, because it's not one thing, it's several things, and I think if I taste it again, which I'm about to do, I'm probably going to get something else out of it.
Angelo?
Yeah, I don't know what the right word is, but it's not as thick as the other two were. It's a little bit thinner, kind of mouth coating, you know, almost like kind of rolls around your tongue a little bit. There's a little bit of heat, a little bit of sweetness. It gets a little bit more spicy as it goes, but I think that's probably a lot of the whiskeys. It's pretty nice. I can't tell I get a feel for what it is, but I'm not sure.
What is your feel? Tell me what your feel is.
I'm thinking Speyside. Maybe like a Glenlivet or maybe a Glenfiddich, something like that. Maybe 12-year-old, 15-year-old. Just a guess. I don't know.
Okay. Anybody else have any guesses?
Could be a Speyside. Could be a better Lowland. Well, there aren't many of those left.
Shelley, any guesses?
Well, I think I'll be safe in saying that I think it's a Scotch, but I don't know my regions well enough to go way out there far on a limb. No, I don't have a specific guess. I probably can rule out a few things I don't think it is, but I can't tell you what I think it is, if that makes it easy.
Okay, that's fair. Jeff, any thoughts?
I'm more in the same side of with Shelley in terms of not really being able to tell you what it is, but I could tell you what it's not.
Okay. What about the finish? Have we thought about that yet, or are you ready to try it with some water now?
I really like the finish. It's longer than the other two, and it's nice. It's peppery, but it's also got some, I don't know that I can tell a flavor or really with a finish. It just has, it feels really good in your throat, and it stays a long while.
And cut. That's just a sample of what you'll hear each month on WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings. If you'd like to be part of the tasting panel for an upcoming episode, just email me at comments@whiskeycast.com. Please be sure to put tasting panel in the subject line. Also, we're looking for WhiskeyCast community members to join our new community panel. There's no hard work involved, but as we build out the new website and add more opportunities for you to take part, it makes a lot of sense to have a group of whiskey lovers that we can bounce ideas off of once in a while. Again, just email me at comments@whiskeycast.com if you're interested in being part of the community panel, and please put community panel in the subject line. That's all for this episode of WhiskeyCast. You'll find links for the Facebook page and my Twitter feed at the WhiskeyCast website, along with the calendar of events, my tasting notes, and details on the apps for iPhone, iPad, and Android, as well as a complete archive of past episodes. The address is WhiskeyCast.com, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2011, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry, and this week even more regrettably hot town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.